What's up, Gorge? It is Lala Kent.
With Ran.
I'm laughing because we have two amazing guests today. We have Sistine and Sophia Stallone.
And high energy podcast today. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
But Randall and I have to share a mic because we're just so lazy that we have yet to order a fourth mic, you guys.
Well, I don't know how I'm going to not laugh. Yeah, you guys switching mics every 2 seconds. It's going to be amazing.
No, it'll be intense.
Okay, first of all, I have to say, we're a little lazy. We had to order the mic today. That's kind of ridiculous that we have three mics. But I just want to say that I'm totally stoked. We have a lot to talk about. You guys are crushing it. People don't know, but you guys have a new podcast, which is so cool because we just started ours a year ago. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to just start with like hearing about how that came through. Why did you guys come up with this idea? Did somebody bring it to you? Like just the whole thing.
So I kind of was the one that pioneered the whole idea. We were really into talking to each other and we had a lot of the ideas, but I wanted to do something a bit different, which was more of like an Oprah for young adults. And so mine was a bit more serious. And I tried to pitch it to a ton of companies and it wasn't working. And Sistine was just nagging me, like, get me on the show, get me on the show.
I feel like I have a lot to say. And so I thought, let me just contribute.
Yeah.
Sophia, you know, wanted to do her own thing, have it just be her project.
Right.
And lots of nagging later.
So after every single company was like, we're not working with you, I'm like, all right.
I find that so hard to believe. What would they say?
They liked the idea, but they thought it wasn't going to be appealing to millennials or Gen Z, which now I understand. I totally agree. I think everything out there now is you have to have a shock factor. You have to be a bigger personality. I don't think there's a lot of platforms that do more of the serious type concepts unless you're in your 40s or like
yeah, people want you to be kind of slutty.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because that's what we are. Sophia tried to sell it as let's get medical professionals on, let's get authors on. She wanted to make it really informative.
That's my personality.
And they said no one wants to hear that. So
I said, okay, power in numbers. Sistine, come on. And so we went to probably the first podcast studio that would take us, and they were like, let's do it. And Sistine and I just had this natural banter, and it's perfect because we're polar opposite.
And the show's called Unwaxed.
Yeah. So I love the name.
It's pretty much what
it's
you'd
so
expect.
Good.
Actually, we didn't think of it, which is, and I think it's kind of weird to say who thought of it.
Who did think of it?
Sylvester.
Yes!
Our dad. So,
but not as creepy as you think,
well,
you guys.
Well, it's funny. He told us to not tell people that he thought of it.
Oh my God. By the way, people don't realize, I mean, I know because I've done a lot of movies with your dad. Besides he's a creative genius, mm-hmm. obviously, but he's really smart with mm-hmm. things that you would be like, would I go to him last for that? Like I would never think like, let's go to Sly and ask him for a podcast name, mm-hmm. but he does come up with a lot of really, really smart shit.
Well, if you look at his characters, they're the most interesting, weird, like he'll name someone Christmas and Barney Ross, like random, just so random. Yeah, but he mm-hmm. really came through with that one.
Yeah.
Okay, so now just take us this. So you come up with the idea, you come up with the name, and then you go to a podcast studio, and how does the process start? And what is it like when you're doing it? Do you enjoy it? Is there a lot of growing pains like we had? Because Lala and I were like, we didn't know what fuck we were doing when we started. Mm-hmm. So it took, like, I talked way too much. They told me to shut up, things like that. So tell us.
It was definitely a work in progress.
Our
feel like
first one was heinous.
So actually, we did practice runs before we did our official first episode, and we were so bad. We looked at each other, we're like, are we fucking crazy?
This is what
why are we doing this? This is like the worst idea
ever. For maybe 3 to 4 months, we would get our phone, record ourselves just practicing.
Yeah.
And every 3 minutes, we would pause it while the other person was talking and critique them. So then it ended up taking
amazing.
4 hours to shoot one, and then we just would leave because we were fighting.
Yeah. So, but it's kind of crazy. I feel like the transition from how we were then to now, we used to have at least 3 pages of Google Docs before, like while we're shooting. So we would know the topics, the transitions, who to bring up. And it was so detailed. And if we didn't have something, we thought that it was gonna implode. And so now today, I think it's more, we'll have like a topic and we'll write it down and we just riff off each other.
Right, like just let it flow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I find like, I'm a Virgo, so I also I'm like, I know where your head's at.
I know.
But then I feel like I kind of, when I have something that's that detailed, mm-hmm. it almost fucks my mind up a little bit.
Yeah.
Yep.
following a script is hard, especially when you want to be creative and funny and hit certain notes and your brain is just all over the place.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I sit there and I'm like, I didn't talk about that one thing though. And it's it just becomes like too much for me to handle.
Or I went off track. I'm like, was that like weird? And is that like not making sense for the show anymore? And I'm like, we have to cut that whole thing out. Sadine's like, no, that's your authenticity. Like you're being honest about it.
I think that was the hardest part for us, was trying to sort of create an image for ourselves that we want out there, because no one really knows who we are. No one knows our personality. Mm-hmm. So in the beginning, we really tried to come off as cookie cutter, perfect 24 and 23 year olds. And that's, and as the show has grown, we're almost at our 50th episode, and you can just see that it's just authentic. And people are like, you know, you're really honest on the show.
Yeah. Like, we were just happy. And they're like, yeah, you remind us of this other girl that's on our show, but you guys are just raw. And I'm like, oh God.
Like we don't care. Like we just spill it all.
But I think that that's what makes an epic podcast. Mm-hmm. No one wants to hear some, well, I'm sure there are people, but that's not who we are obviously targeting. We want the people that are like, I want to talk about bleaching assholes or
why not?
Like whatever it may be. Yeah. Mention it all.
Mention it all. I think people like that.
I agree, because one of the things that we were so obsessed with too is that like we'd be like, who's the guest this week? Remember we would do that like every, we'd obsess like the next 3 weeks out who our guests would be. And then we started getting feedback and from fans and from the network that does our podcast, and they're like, you guys, we like you. Like, it doesn't always have to be the biggest star in the world, because we're like, we need Stallone, we need Quavo, we need this guy, we need, and all of a sudden we realize like, wow, they really like laugh at us and with us, and it's okay.
It's
and
so true. From, I mean, I've listened to a bunch of your guys' episodes, and I found that the ones that were my favorite were with just you guys, or having the mom talk or the dad talk. It wasn't the big guest that you guys had. Your banter before the guest came on was the best part of every show.
That's so nice.
Yeah, that's right.
It's true.
So
tell
me this. Do your parents listen to your podcast each week?
Jen used to. Mom used to listen to it every week. She's kind of gone lazy. Sly refuses.
I think what he meant,
and we told him, we do not want you to listen.
My dad started strong. He listened to the first episode, and he goes, this is great. The second episode was advice from a fuckboy.
Oh!
And after he heard that one, he goes, I think I'm good.
Right. He's like, I just want to think of you guys as like three-year-old little girls. That totally.
Let me tell you something. If I was your father... and I heard that episode, it would be the last one I'd ever listen to. So I can understand.
Yeah, so,
by the way, I think that, and I mean, and I'm speaking for Sly, but I think that part of being the successful father that he is letting you guys go into the world and having your voice. And by the way, I don't think people really know, because like you said, the Stallone girls or whatever, the Stallone sisters.
Right.
But like now you have your voice and it's like kind of really shining. And I think that's really, really special. And I think that's a success of a father, you know, handing it down. And that's cool.
Totally. And I feel like we have, I think he also loves the fact that, if you guys know him personally, so you know that he's a very open book about things. He does not have a filter. I feel like anyone that knows him personally is like, this guy is not as cookie cutter.
He certainly needs a filter.
Yeah. And so it's funny because I feel like people are getting like a sneak peek of what he really is like, because we're the same way. Like we don't really hold back on anything. It's like, if we talk about sex, we talk about sex. We talk about mental health, we'll talk about mental health, but why hold back? And I feel like people have been getting, they got over the shock now. Now they're like, okay, what's next? Like what's more for the show, which has been great.
Well, I was, you know, lucky enough to come and have dinner at your guys' home with your other little sister.
Yeah, Scarlett.
Scarlett, and then your mom, and obviously your dad was there. And I was...
His name is Sly. Yeah. Just say Sly.
Sly. I'm just going to say your dad.
It's funny because I don't even say my dad. I call him Sly as well.
Right?
Yeah. So
okay, we'll call him Sly. Your dad's Sly. That's dope. And just to see your guys' back and forth with him is amazing. I mean, I feel like people like Sly and Rand just get cursed with all girls.
Yes.
I don't know. You think?
Yes.
Because I feel like because they have so much energy, they need the girl energy to bring them down a little
100%.
Bit.
100%.
And humble
feminine.
Them.
Yes.
Because I know that he does not get away with shit. And his shows.
But he wanted only girls.
He did only want girls.
Now he regrets it. Girls are a little bit expensive. But I tell him, I go, Dad, girls are forever. When men find their woman, they leave. They don't need you anymore.
No, they don't need you.
But girls are forever. We're never leaving.
I love that.
That is so true. What a great thing. Because you know what? I told Lala when we were trying to have Ocean, Which took about 4 weeks, but literally, but when we were trying to have a baby, she's like, you know, she was dead set in her mind at that time. Obviously now she's in paradise, but she was like, I gotta give you a boy. And I was like, no, you don't understand something. I'm good. I'm old and I like to cuddle. Aww. I like to get, you know, go to manicures and pedicures. I'm right. like good shopping. Yeah. I'm not going to be a great boy dad. Like I'm too slow and too old. And then I told her, and the other thing is, you're too OCD. And if we have a boy jumping off the furniture into the wall, you're going to go crazy. Yeah, so true. Anyway, so
I didn't really feel like I needed to give you a boy. I just wanted a boy.
Oh, I thought you were being selfless, but okay. okay. Anyway, so next time, just agree and pretend. Okay.
See, I want a boy right now. So, I mean, not now. Wait, slow down.
No, 24.
But I do want a boy. I don't know if it's because I'm so surrounded by girls 24/7. Yeah. I want it to throw something in the mix because we're so, I feel like we're all, because my mom's whole side, they've only had one of one gender. My mom's sisters had 4 boys. My mom's other sister had 3 girls. Wow. There hasn't been like a mix.
Wow. At all.
So even female dogs. But going back to
that's
the
choice, my choice.
That's amazing.
But going back to the dinner when you guys came over, that was one of the most chaotic dinner conversations in the best way possible.
Yeah.
And my mom comes up to us after you guys had left and goes, do you think we scared them off? Like, I don't think they're going to come back.
No, not at all. You, like, had me hooked after that.
Oh, good.
I was like, I was already super down. And we had just found out that I was pregnant with Ocean,
yeah,
right?
That's right. That's right.
I think you guys are, like, the first people I saw after I found out.
Oh, my God.
How crazy is that?
That's so cool.
That was a week after we got back from North Carolina. It was, like, we were, like, 2 weeks maybe in. And that, I mean, very quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Segueing what I like to call pivoting. No, the scary. You weren't scaring anybody. We were coming back for more. Like, we were in line.
Anytime.
Yeah. And by the way, Sly's calling me and was like, "What are you doing tomorrow night?" And I was like, "Are we going on a date, Sly?" And he's like, "No, you want to come over for dinner?" I was like, "Well, I'm still out of town." You know, he's always he's great. But so here's a question I get from a lot of my friends. Neither one of you know this, but because I shield you from. I feel like, you know, parental shield, like I have to do it for Sly.
Love it.
People see you on Instagram. You guys have these big Instagram followings. You have these big social media followings. Obviously, people know who you are. I get a question. And the question is, are you two single? I want the answer officially on this podcast.
That's so funny that you said that.
Such a hilarious question. Yes, we are so
and
single.
And actually, we're about to talk about why we're single, why we think it's our fault that we're single on our podcast
That's
today
true.
That we record.
We've spent about 20 episodes on our podcast discussing why it's everyone else that's the problem, why we're single. And Sophia, I'm not kidding you, this morning I walk in her room, she goes, Sistine, I think it's us. Like,
yeah, I think
we're the problem.
And I was like, we should talk about why we find every single problem in the guys we're dating and find the most ridiculous one of why we broke up with them and talk about the podcast, like our defense mechanisms.
Can you give us an example of a guy that you each were dating and what you, like, made up in your head that was horribly wrong? You don't have to, please don't say their name, of course.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. Oh, I know I've dumped a guy because he gave me too much attention.
Yeah.
That's just so stupid because the opposite, I get way pissier. But then I'm like, oh, he's just too much. I'm like, what else do I want? This poor guy.
I stopped seeing a guy because on the second date, he gave me a pet name. Called me his little pickle.
Okay, I'd break up with him.
But he was the nicest guy. I go, but no, I'm not a
but
pickle.
I can't, like, be a little pickle.
Yeah.
Oh, God, no. It's like, we even say, like, cologne changes if it's, like, too many different scents.
Oh,
like, that's
my. Okay, you two are tough. You two are tough.
Hard.
So let me ask you, so both of you are single. Now, during the pandemic, which I had spoken to you guys, it was obviously for somebody single super hard to date because you guys were locked down. How did you deal with that? Or was it just online? Like, what happened?
Okay, the weirdest thing, I don't know why. I think I thrived during quarantine more than I've ever done in my entire life.
Sophia was serial dating.
I don't know why. Oh,
She would get 6 dates in 6 days.
Yeah. Well, I did it for the podcast. I was kind of trying to test something.
What, like, Zoom dates?
Yeah, Zoom dates.
Yeah.
A lot of them. And they were just...
Wow, a Zoom dater.
They're so hot.
By the way, it's really specific. We had to get the lighting right. We put candles in the background.
Oh, yeah.
Very moody.
Yeah. It's really great. Very moody. So she was in the background with, like,
boombox. What we thought was just a genius idea, now looking back, was actually so stupid of us to do. We decided to join a dating app.
Mm-hmm.
During
which one?
During the pandemic, though.
We joined Raya and Hinge.
Okay.
How is that? What is it like?
Well, we're not on it anymore, but it's just horrible.
It's. I'll tell you why Raya doesn't work for us. Because it's a bunch of people that think that they are just the cat's meow. And for example, this one guy had messaged Sophia and asked her out and said, how do you feel if we go get a hamburger and go to the beach? Sophia says, that's not my vibe at all, right?
No. What's your vibe? What's your vibe?
No, she's lying. I just, the guy was too short and it's just not my look. Hold on,
give us the minimum height requirement.
What's worse?
What's the height requirement? We have to know.
At least like 6 feet.
Holy Sophia. Shit.
At least.
So I was going to say, I agree, but you're not 6 feet.
Are you out of your fucking mind, Lala? I am 6 feet minus 2 inches.
Like, with lifts.
Wait, 5'11 I could take. I just need to at least, when I wear my 4-inch heels, at least be.
We're not offended.
No.
6 feet.
You deserve that.
Sorry.
I agree with Lala. 6 feet. If that's what you need, you should get 6 feet.
But see, I feel like I'm being picky.
No,
and that's
you're not.
The problem. It's like, it's okay.
How old are you again?
I'm going to be 25 next month.
Okay. Fuck off. You can take as much time as you need. Find 6 feet. You can say what you want him to do, what you want him to look like. No attention, too much attention. You can break up with him. You're 25.
We just sort of will be. Say yes to anyone that asks us out, though. That's the problem. We're not picky enough. We literally just say, and then the problem is we do the most on the first few dates. We try to entertain, do a little dance, be smart, be funny, good conversationalist. And then by date three, we go, oh my God, they have the personality of a doorknob.
And you don't know who they are. Like, who did you just date for the past 5 weeks?
Let me ask you a question. Okay, because I'm older, so I'm in a little different generation gap here. If they have a great personality and they're 5'8", do you overlook the height? No pun intended.
Me?
Actually, yeah, I do.
You do.
It did take me a bit, even in college. I know. I was really, because my last boyfriend was 6'7".
What?
Yeah, so he was super, super tall. So I was kind of jaded by that. I'm like, everyone is short. But like, obviously, 6'7" is like a giant. But now, yes, I feel like as I've gotten older, and I think the more guys we've dated, we're like, personality, we just need that. Someone that's funny, that can keep up with us, because I mean, we're not hard to date, honestly. Like, we honestly do the easiest things ever. We're not like,
and I think people are more intimidated with the idea.
I was gonna say, can I say my take? I said this to you guys when we were doing the movie, we'll talk about that in a second, but I was saying, like, I think guys are probably at your age intimidated because there's a big thing that comes with you, right? Like, looming in the back is the Sylvester Stallone legacy.
Yeah.
So you've got that. And then you've got these two women that you guys are funny, you're strong, you're intelligent. You know what I mean? Like, you guys are the package, I would think.
Thank you.
No, and I know you guys. You guys are good people. Like, that's also a huge thing in the world to be, you know. So I think that, you know, you have to find a guy, at least if I was to guess, that's strong, you know, very, very confident.
Yeah.
You know, I think no matter what age and what height.
The confident is a huge thing, because a lot of the guys that we go out with, they go out with us for the wrong reasons, of course.
Most of the time.
We normally know when they talk about them a ton on the first date.
There's no shame?
Oh, get this. I've had a guy bring a resume on my first date.
Yeah. You're fucking lying.
No, he was 32. You would think a man in his 30s would just have it figured out.
He was like
out.
Trying to be a director or something like that.
Oh. Yeah.
He brought his resume for you to give to your dad.
Exactly. So the problem is a lot of these guys
I've had guys say to me, to my girlfriend the next day, they like met them. They're like, would she get me courtside seats with her dad? Yeah, no.
Yeah, so
a damn lie. Are you?
Oh, no, so that's why we're still single, is that we
find
problems with everyone. We're like, no,
it sounds like it's everyone else's problem. You guys have listed off a few like schmuckies.
We know
how to pick them.
And but you know what? Part of the thing is coming from, and you know, it's easy to say from an outside, like, oh, they come from this lineage, blah, blah, blah. And you know, but at the same time, like, there's also a curse to that. Like, you know, like you said, like, are they dating you for the right reason? Yeah. I think that's a big thing. Like, you're going to have to go the extra mile with somebody just to make sure you're getting that right person, because you know, you don't, like you said, you don't want somebody using you for whatever it is.
Yeah.
It'd be a lot easier if you guys were like unfortunate looking, because then you would know for sure everyone who was in it for the wrong reasons. Exactly. You know, you'd be like, well, I'm kind of busted and they're really into me. They're definitely in it for Sly. but you're like hot. So it's like, are they with me because I'm fun, hot, or because my dad's hot? You know, there's so many options to choose from.
You're so funny. God. No, I think that
we're honestly nice. I promise we're not like scary, and I feel like people think that we're going to be a lot more.
I think the pandemic really made us realize how lonely we were, so we tried to look really hard for a relationship. And now we're like, you know what? Let's just focus on our career. Let's grind for this year.
By the way, great idea.
Yeah, and just do us. And if it comes around, it'll come around.
Can I say this? And we're going to go to a break real quick. I just want to say that I think you're right. You work hard, and then the right situation will come at the right time. Versus we all have in our lives, Lala and I both individually in our lives have forced or tried. Mm-hmm. It never works that way. And I think when you least expect it, you know, she came smashing into my life and hasn't left since.
We need this love.
Oh, gosh.
I love you too, babe. Let's go to a break.
Did you know today is a great day to warranty? Well, actually, every day is a great day when you're not worrying about your appliances and home systems. And that's what you get with American Home Shield Warranty. I signed up with American Home Shield the moment I decided to buy my house. With an American Home Shield warranty, unexpected breakdowns like a leaky faucet or faulty water heater won't break the bank because covered repairs and replacements are taken care of, just like that. And not by me, my mom, or Easton. We wouldn't know the first thing to do if something stopped working in this house. I just contact American Home Shield when a covered item breaks, and their trusted and qualified pros will fix or replace it based on the coverage limits in your agreement. So having that sort of reassurance from American Home Shield is something to celebrate. When it comes to protecting your appliances and home systems, don't worry, be warranty. Visit ahs.com/GTL today to get 20% off any plan. That's ahs.com/GTL for 20% off any plan. For more details, see ahs.com/contracts for coverage details, including limit amounts, fees, limitations, and exclusions. New Jersey residents, the product being offered is a service contract and is separate and distinct from any product or service warranty, which may be provided by the home builder or manufacturer. $0 delivery fees. I bet that made you listen. Yes, I said $0 delivery fees. That's what you get when you Dash Pass by DoorDash. And if you don't know what Dash Pass is, I'm about to change your world. Dash Pass is an exclusive membership that gets you unlimited $0 delivery fees on eligible orders, along with members-only deals and discounts. Dash Pass is the most affordable way to get food from your favorite restaurants or groceries or whatever else you need delivered right to your front door. Dash Pass basically pays for itself in 2 orders on average. Plus, Dash Pass gives you special access to exclusive promotions and menu items, all for just $9.99 per month. Get more from delivery for less with Dash Pass, $0 delivery fees, and reduced service fees on eligible DoorDash orders. Sign up for Dash Pass today and get your first 30 days free if you're a new member. Subject to change, terms apply. Open the door to $0 delivery fees and savings you can't get anywhere else. Sign up for Dash Pass today only on DoorDash and get your first 30 days free if you're a new member. Subject to change, terms apply.
We are back. In case you've been living under a rock, it is Lala Kent, and you're listening to our podcast, Give Them Lala with Randall.
Yes.
We have Sistine and Sophia Stallone. Randall. So we've spoken to you guys about your epic, or not so epic, I guess, dating fails.
However you'd like to look at
it. We've also been manifesting Toxic Girl Summer for the past couple months. I think we're now just shooting ourselves in the foot.
Yeah.
We wanted a drama-filled summer, and now we really don't want a drama-filled summer. We keep running to every ex since we've been back in LA. So we're really just...
We're manifesting the wrong
things.
Take it back.
Healthy girl with a boyfriend summer, please.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I kind of thrived during the pandemic as well because they told me that I absolutely could not leave my house, and that's when I do the best.
See, you know what? My mom was the same way. She wants every night for us to be sitting on the couch doing a puzzle, eating cheese puffs every single night, and we did that every night. It was amazing. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, that's like hell for me. So the pandemic was a test of my true self. The only thing I will say is it allowed me to slow down and really take inventory of my life and remember what is important. So I think that was a beautiful thing for me because I needed that. But I'm not somebody that does really well sitting still.
But at your guys' age, for sure, I would have not been living my best life.
I went into pandemic 23. I'm coming out 25. I'm just depressed.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole 2 year, like, years.
Yeah, after, like, the seventh bag of cheese puffs, I go, this is getting a little sad.
Like, there was literally 12 different varieties of cheese puffs that we were trying. I wish I was kidding. I can take a photo and send it to you guys.
It was bad. Just, so, yeah, it sucks that we feel like we were robbed of a few years, but so was everyone, so we can't feel too bad.
I want to just mention one thing on a side, because you and I have a movie coming out, and Midnight in Switchgrass, which, by the way, people don't know, Sistine Stallone is one of the stars. You crushed it.
Thank you.
What's crazy is, talking about the pandemic, we were in Puerto Rico together the week before the world ended.
That was crazy.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
So just tell people, like, that experience, because I've talked about it on the podcast with Lala, because we've been through it for basically many shutdowns. But just your experience, you came out, you booked the movie, just kind of the whole thing.
Oh my God. Well, when I even read the script and did the audition, I said, this is the type of dark shit that I love. Like, this script, it just spoke to me. So I was so excited to even read for it.
You didn't
it.
Like the person that was doing the background for you?
Sophia was.
Like, I was the one that was at the audition.
Let me just set it up for you. Sophia was reading the lines with me. My mom is holding a ringlet and filming at the same time. So it was a full production.
That is amazing. Yeah. I wish I could have seen that.
We do it every single audition.
My auditions are so funny, because sometimes I'll have my dad read across from me. And I'll tell you why that never works. I always get two responses back. One being, it's a good audition, but the voice is a little bit distracting in the background, because we know who it is. And the second one is, this, say if I'm, you know, a girlfriend that has to tell her boyfriend that I'm late on my period, and I have to have this very emotional scene with my dad, I'm like, oh God, this is just awkward. Like, how do you get into character?
And by the way, there's no other guys in your house, so that's your only go-to.
Exactly.
Wow. Unless you go to me, but like, that's...
But anyway, the audition was great, obviously. Yeah. I booked it, and then flew to Puerto Rico. You were so amazing when I got there. You were so sweet, and it was funny, because the first night that we went out as a big crew, my dad was like, Sistine, where are you? He had no idea that I was even in Puerto Rico. And Randall's like, you didn't tell him? Like,
by the way, I had texted him and I said, I just want to tell you, I never brought it up to you, because your daughter auditioned for my movie and I didn't want it to ever be anything like that. And she crushed it. And he goes, what? She's in Puerto Rico? I go, okay, this has gone a little too extreme. We've taken this a little too extreme. He's like, will she safe? I go, slide, right?
That's exactly why I didn't tell him, because I know my dad, he would have sent 10 security guards and a helicopter and like snipers in the grass, like waiting for me. Yeah. So I just thought, okay, if it's I was there for what, 2-3 days. Yeah. I said, let's just get in and out. He doesn't need to know, it won't hurt him. But it was such an amazing experience. Like, I still look back at photos and remember that time. And everyone on the crew was so nice. And you were so amazing and made me feel so comfortable. It was just
so much fun. It was really epic. And it's crazy, because we shot you, I think, like was it 3 or 4 on camera? And then day 7, we shut down. The whole world shut down. So it was like this weird, like,
I got lucky. I got in and out. I got in and out.
You didn't have to come back 13 times where we shut down. But anyway, I just want to congratulate you, because our premiere is next week and the movie opens. So there we go.
So exciting for you too. That is so cool. Your directorial debut.
Yeah.
It's a big deal for you guys. Yeah. Do you have your dress?
Oh gosh. My mom and I have been on every website. We are searching.
I'm so underwhelmed by everything that's out there to wear right now.
I just feel like no one's buying. Everything looks the same. And I don't really know. Like, what is your vibe, Lala? What do you think?
Sweatpants.
No!
Over the premiere?
The premiere.
Oh, yes. I thought you meant in general. Well, I was like, sweatpants. Have you seen my Instagram? It consists of my gray velvet headboard and me in bed.
I love that.
That's my vibe.
That's
perfect.
All of us.
I mean, I found this dress that is like plungy neckline.
Love it.
An epic shoulder pad. Mm. I forgot who makes it, but it's like a very, the shade of blue is amazing, and it's all sequined.
I love a blue.
Beautiful.
I love a blue.
But it's the only thing I could find, you guys.
No, I think that'll look so good with your eyes and your hair. And I think, because I'm trying to consider who's showing up, I'm like, okay, Lala, I know she's gonna have something great on.
You're so nice.
Randall, I'm not
so
sure.
She did say this.
Randall, I'm not so sure.
Randall's lucky he gets a black fresh t-shirt at best.
Randall is ironing his t-shirt.
No, but we're talking about like MGK, we got Megan. Machine Gun Kelly. We'll probably come and like look
exactly
sick.
So I'm thinking, okay, what do I do? So we're gonna wing it. I'm gonna look for something in my closet and we'll just see.
I feel like you're going to kill it no matter what. You're fucking Sistine Stallone. Like,
oh, I need that. Thank you.
I agree. And by the way, you're going to look great with whatever you wear. I, by the way, want everybody to know that I might upgrade my black t-shirt to a suit.
Wow.
I am going. Wow. People are really shocked. I am going to a store, a real store, this week on Thursday.
A real one?
One where they sell suits. And I'm going to try one on. The last time I had a suit on was my bar mitzvah at 13. So there you go.
That's such a lie. He's worn a suit since then.
Okay, Irishman. But other than that. Okay. Other than that.
Yeah.
You gotta look good. You gotta look good.
He does. He needs a little help. We gotta up his swag up
a bit. Do you style him?
Yeah. No, I have a hard enough time styling myself.
I do too.
By the time I finish, I'm like, I don't have enough energy for you.
You know what? I find myself always going back to Pinterest because they just have really good ideas. I know Pinterest is kind of outdated.
Is it though? I feel like everyone still does that.
Okay, good, because I love it.
I think everyone loves it.
No, it's a great place
to for outfits. Yeah. Go there.
Yeah, but this is my problem. I put so much energy into like a new outfit idea, mm-hmm. and then I put on like, this looks like shit. And so I rewear the same outfit that I've worn 1,200 times.
Same.
I can't. It overwhelms me.
Sometimes I'll have like one really bomb look, and then I just rock it till the wheels fall off. And I'm like, well, it was cute when I first wore it, and now I never want to see it again.
Now it's tired. It's time.
I think I've worn the same little black dress on like 12 different dates.
I was gonna say I have one date exactly outfit, and I just rewear.
Yeah, it's my black dress.
But why would you not? A different guy, right?
Oh yeah, of course. Okay. Same guy. How horrible would it be if, like, the guy that I went out with previously saw me wearing the same exact outfit with this different guy?
That would just be a crazy scenario.
That'd be great content for the podcast. I hope that happens.
Isn't it funny when you start a podcast or, like, a reality show, you're like, I really wish that would happen. That would make for
every
great
time.
TV.
All the time. Great episode. In my notes app, like, all the time. Oh, that just happened to Sophia. I gotta write it down for the show.
I love it.
Yeah.
So you guys just celebrated your dad. Oh, sorry. Sly's birthday.
When you talk about Sly, you say Sly. There's no dad.
You
Sly.
Can say dad. You can say whatever you want, Lala.
That I like that though. Yeah. Little song. That was
good,
a good one.
Good.
What did you guys do to celebrate?
Well, 75. That's a big year for
it's
him.
It's huge.
Wow. Yeah. It was really hard because we wanted to do something fun. My mom did a huge thing for his 60th, flew all of his friends out to Vegas. I mean, rented clubs. Like, it was a whole thing.
Huge.
So she says, okay, 75, how can we top that? But, you know, a more tired version of that. like a curfew bedtime.
Yeah, exactly.
Reasonable hour.
Okay.
So
we go to BOA, and it was just, like, a big group of his friends that he's known since either college or since he was 20, just anything like that. So it's really, really intimate. And then we thought, okay, what's a fun after party like that we can do that he hasn't done, that it's normal for 70. You can't take him to Bootsy Bellows, you can't take him to Catch
or One Oak.
Yes, right, Sly at One Oak. And I don't want him just to go home. And so we thought, okay, we know some people at the Laugh Factory and he loves comedy. Sometimes I feel like he should just do it. Why don't we get a list of his favorite comedians, send it out to our friends that kind of run the Laugh Factory and say, hey, just find whoever you can and make a really, really boss, like, bomb lineup. And so they did it. We show up and my dad was like literally on cloud
nine. It was amazing. By that point, we just said, okay, let's get these guys as tipsy as possible. So they had even more fun.
Right.
So it was amazing. We got three booths for them at the comedy show and they were just drinking.
Were there to like laugh?
Sounds amazing.
It was a lot of fun.
So who were some of the comedians that you guys had show up?
Oh, Sophia, I don't know anyone's
name. It was, oh my God, why am I so bad? Because the guys that dad likes.
Ross?
Jeff Ross is awesome.
No, he's great. Why am I forgetting the names right now?
It's okay.
I'm honestly, Craig Robinson.
Yeah.
He was in Hot Tub Time Machine.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I definitely know.
He's great. He's
but it was a lot of fun.
That sounds like totally, like, I would dig that.
It's
and
a
I
great
am not
date
75.
Night. It's a great date night.
It is. We like to go there for date nights a lot.
I love comedy clubs. So does she. And by the way, for your birthday in September, maybe we should just do comedy club instead of Hawaii.
We do a comedy club in Hawaii. The last comedy show I went to, I was shit-faced. So this was like 3 years ago. And I heckled.
No.
Yeah.
No. Did they?
Did they
pick on you?
She got thrown out.
Shut up.
Did the comedian pick on you?
No. He said some crazy shit, but then the club people came up to us and asked us to leave.
Well, they really hate people that heckle like there.
Well,
realize
as
it now.
They should. It's like they're performing. No, like, shut the fuck up.
I was horrified.
I would love to just say something back, but then you I feel like I get called out.
You know what you'd be really good at, Lala? Sophia and I have always wanted to do this. Oh, yeah. David Spade had a segment on a show where he would be backstage with a microphone and would have just random girls, guys, actors, models that were not stand-up comedians at all have an earpiece in. And he would feed them, and they would have the lines, and they would have no idea what was going to come out. Lines. And you're in front of a live audience, and you're just saying it as it's coming to you in real time. Mm-hmm. And the response is so funny.
Yeah. Wait, you what is this that. Show?
Well, it's like David Spade's talk show that he did.
On Comedy Central or something like that.
And so it was part of a segment where he get like, what's her name? Charlotte McKinney? Is that what
it was? Yeah, it'd be like him and Whitney Cummings backstage, like giving you the
earpiece. Is awesome.
You should do that.
I would want to do that.
That would be funny for the show.
What? You should. David Spade.
Yeah. What?
Oh, no.
When I first moved to LA, he gave me a gift card. So I bought sheets with it.
No.
Yeah. Wait, what kind of gift card?
So I always, Bed Bath & Beyond gift card.
Oh, that's kind of great.
Yeah.
I love that place.
By the way, that's actually a really good gift.
So I always say David Spade bought me my first LA sheets.
Oh, I love it.
That is epic.
As he should. You know what? That's a welcome present. I love it.
That's so funny.
The weather is getting warmer. Summer is coming, finally. And you know what that means? It's time to put all of the jackets and all the sweaters in the back of the closet and pull out all of your shorts and tees. And I know you all want some new looks for the warm summer sunshine, and you don't want to break the bank in the process. I get it. We want to ball on a budget. So do what I did and shop Quince. Now, I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking so chic year after year. Quince has premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts starting at $30. You can find silk tops, 14-karat jewelry, and so much more. All Quince items are 50 to 80% less than many similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes all of those savings on to us. I did just get myself a fabulous cashmere tee in cream. It is so soft and yummy. It's probably just as soft as the Quince waffle towels that I got for Palm Springs. We absolutely love those towels. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Lala for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Lala to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Lala. So I have two game changers to share with you when it comes to upping your glam game. I am totally obsessed with Impress No Glue Manis and Impress Press-On False Eyelashes because I'm very into just easy right now, and anyone can do it. You are going to love them just as much as I do. Both require zero glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes. There's also no annoying dry time. And the best part, zero mess. One step and you're done. The lash style options are endless, and there are so many on-trend nails to choose from. Impress, No Glue Manis, and Press-On Falsies are the easiest and fastest way to upgrade your look in just minutes. The Press-On Falsies have a unique under-lash application for a totally seamless look and are made with an exclusive self-stick technology that keeps them secure for up to 24 hours. The Impress Manis have a patented super hold adhesive for up to 7 days secure hold. And that's perfect for all of you busy mamas out there who don't have a lot of time to spend on glam but want to look your best. I completely get it. Impress No Glue Manis and Impress No Glue Press-On Falsies are absolutely a beauty must. You need to try them right now. So get yours today at impressbeauty.com/Lala. And use code LALA at checkout for 25% off Impress Manicure and Press-On Falsies. That's impressbeauty.com/LALA and use code LALA at checkout for 25% off.
Okay, so question. So when you guys were coming up in Los Angeles, did you always want to act? You, Sistine, and Sophia, did you all? Because I know you started a book club,
I saw that.
So share, tell us about the acting, tell us about the book club, kind of like why these things kind of happen.
I'll start with the acting thing. It's kind of a funny story. Mm-hmm. Growing up, I was painfully shy. Like, my mom thought I was just a mute. Like, we would do school plays every single year, and I kid you not, Sophia was so good that she would be the lead in every single play. So we projected her to be the actor of the family. Mm-hmm. She was a star. She was fearless up there. I, however, was so bad that they would cast me to sit on the right side of the stage on the stairs the whole night with the signs that say boo and yay for the audience. And I messed that up. I would put up the wrong one. And it was a mess. So I never really wanted to act. It's sort of just, I thought, I don't like to not try things and I don't like to be bad at things. So I just thought, okay, why not for fun? Mm-hmm. And then I kind of just fell in love with it. It was really, wow. It was just, yeah. And it's cool having, I also looked at it as a really cool way to bond with my dad. He is really obviously passionate about it and he knows what he's talking about. And it was just a cool way to become closer, and he gives me advice and tips, and and what I learn when I'm with him, not even just acting wise, it's more just life wise. I wouldn't have gotten those, you know, experiences if I didn't
without the same passion.
Right, exactly.
But it's funny because people don't know you because they haven't seen this movie, and I know you've done other things, but that's so the opposite of how you come off, because when you're on set, you're so strong with your conviction of the character. And it's like, when I was directing you, you know, because I didn't know you at all, and you came in the set, and I was like, okay, you know, maybe she knows a little bit about it. I don't know what she knows, but I knew you crushed it in the audition. So I was like, she nailed the character. And I remember when we were going back and forth and I was giving direction, like, you just kind of kept making it your own even deeper than what you already had brought. So for you to even say like, oh, I didn't really know I was going to act, it's so...
It is.
Opposite.
Oh, thank you. She gains random confidance all of a sudden. And I think it was the I don't give a shit attitude that made it the most
fearless.
Realistic.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good
and
point.
And that was the opposite. Like, I loved it, but I thought too much. And then I would overanalyze it. And then when I would audition, I would just bomb because I was so nervous.
When you do when you're in part of an industry that is so insecure, you have to be honestly the opposite in order to stand out. And I knew, okay, there's no way I can ever live up to this like legacy that my dad has created. There's no way I have a better chance of going to the moon than having the same success that he's had in acting. And I'm so aware of that. So if I just go into it thinking, I'm just gonna fucking go for it. Sorry, I don't know if I can curse. Okay. I'm just gonna go for it. Like, throw spaghetti at the wall, see what sticks. And if I get it, great. And if I don't get the part, then I'm not
gonna
cry about it.
That's an amazing way to look at
Thank
it.
Thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's more fun than anything.
Yeah.
And I'll say, you know, we all kind of like, if we all overthink like legacy, forget even, I mean, it's your dad, so it's obviously different, but there are producers I looked up to, they're directors. If I say to myself when I took this leap of faith to try to direct Midnight, and I look at guys like Scorsese, it's like, I can't even mentally get my head around it. Right. But I think that we have to just go in, like you said, fearless and with our dreams, and hopefully our dreams will take us where we want to go, right?
100%.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of what started even the podcast and why we love it so much, is like everything we do, we just go in with zero filter, fully raw, not having any fear with it, because we know, look, like it's going up and down and it's not 100% all the time. But I think that mentality that she's had, if we just do it naturally with our own personalities, it just works. And so, yeah, I actually look up to Sistine in a lot of ways for that stuff. Honestly.
You guys are really cute, Sistine.
I do.
They are.
They're very
sweet.
We're
a good balance. Well, she tells me, like, don't give a shit. And then it's vice versa. I'm like,
so
you should give a shit, maybe.
Sophia tells me all the time, I wish I was in your skin. And I'm like, I literally wish I was you. Like, we want to be each other all the time.
Yeah.
Well, I look up to her so much just because... Not only are you my older sister, you do things because you like them. I feel like a lot of choices that I've made in my career so far have been because managers, agents, people giving me the wrong advice and saying what's good for them. Whereas, like, for example, you started this book club because it's purely out of passion.
Yeah.
And you're only doing things that you like to do. Whereas, I just do things sometimes because I feel like I have to do them.
So tell us. I love that. And I know I do. And I think that the two of you,
Thank you.
I hope so people see... I hope if people were sitting here, I hope they can see. I hope it comes through the mic, like what
Me
we
too.
See. No, no, but like you guys have this really, really, really sweet, like real pure love for one another.
We are best friends. Like I really honestly, we always say this because we've had like a lot of friends come and go, and we've had our lulls with people, but we always just say, well, we have each other. We're fine. We go out, and now we go out, and people are like, are you bringing your sister? Or they just add her automatically.
I don't get invited anywhere, but Sophia's like, she's coming, whether. Either I go or
yeah, no. It's like we're up to the hip.
I don't think anybody's complaining if either one of you bring the other. But
no.
So now, I read on your gram that you were doing this book club, which, by the way, I knew nothing that you were this obsessed with books, but I read the whole thing and it was like you have this real obsession and passion for reading.
Well, so I realized that since I've been on social media, I've had a really, really tough time finding my voice. And I think that it's really easy. Like, you are amazing at makeup. And so that is just like, I mean,
You're
and
so
I was
nice.
Like, no, you are. And it really comes as authentic, and so people follow you for that. And then Sistine, like, she's just naturally fashion forward, even with makeup, and people really look up to her like that. I've always been kind of in this lull where I don't really know who I am, and so I realized, okay, I feel like so many people are super authentic on Instagram, like, and they really show their passions, and that's what makes someone successful, is like you truly love what you're doing. And so I thought, okay, I've been the biggest bookworm since I was like in third grade. I would read, you can ask Sistine, I've probably read over 500 books in my life.
She reads so fast. My brain can't comprehend words quickly.
I'll read a whole chapter and I'm like, what the fuck did I just read? I have to literally start over.
But babe, you love reading.
Well, that's why I said I'm scared to sign up for your book club, because if we talk about it next week, I go, I'm going to forget everything I read.
So I just decided, I was like, I love things that involve health with like mentally, and I also love things physically healthy. And so I was like, okay, this is a really positive platform. I can encourage people to read books, and maybe I can teach people how to love it, or how to read faster, how to find what their niche is, because like everyone has their own preference. Sistine loves murder mystery, and so I've given
her and
erotica.
Yeah.
And erotica. Yes,
and so I read all of that, so I'm like,
quarantine's been hard.
But I also say, like, you just learn so much from books. And as I get older, I realize the books I've read, it relates to so many people. If I've said I've read a book, like, you can have a full-blown conversation with someone, and you sound so much smarter when you just say, like, I've read this book, even if you've read one book in your life. You're like, whoa!
I know. So, totally.
And so I realize I want to build this community, and I truly, truly love books. Wow. And I mean, whether that turns into something else, like, I have a ton of ideas, but
well, I think it gives people a sense of community.
Also, yeah.
You know, they feel like they have a direct connection with you because you... Yeah. You know, recommended this book, and you guys are gonna have a conversation about it. And you know, wherever they are in the world, if they follow you, they go pick up the book, and it gives them that intimate time with you.
Exactly, and it also gives me the opportunity, since I think a lot of our Instagram's kind of intimidating, and people have always said that to us, where they're like, "You have like 1.5, and all your photos like super pretty." I'm like, "Okay, well,
no, they
and
say
it happens, but
no, they say we look very angry.
Angry, yes,
in all of our pictures. Well, they said a lot of people. We met this manager the other day, and the first thing he said to us was, I was honestly expecting you guys to be super bitchy because of the way your Instagram looks. And I go, you're probably, it's not
wrong. Which is fair, because we don't talk on it. The only thing you can figure out is through our podcast.
And I don't smile, so.
Me neither. So, and I know my angle. It's with the sharp jawline a little bit.
What exactly? Like, you know? It's just this side of my face. It's like, just because we know how to smile doesn't mean we're mean.
You know? Exactly. So I use this book also as a way for me to just be like my kind of vulnerable, normal self. Yeah. So I actually like write captions on it saying like, how are you feeling today? Like, I'm feeling okay. Like, I want to build that really, really close bond with people, and so hopefully I can do that.
I think it's great. It's great because I think, like you said, it's such a social media world, and such a like everything's like portrayed how we want it to look. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a book club brings people back to having to interact. You're reading, you're creating, and then you're sharing your take on a book. Everybody's take on a book is different, and I think that. I feel like we're getting away from books so quickly.
Yeah.
Your generation, you know, not that people aren't reading, but I'm saying people are watching 5-second videos, TikToks, more than they're doing anything else. And this is a really neat way to bring people back.
Exactly. You know? Just like take time for yourself where you're not comparing and you're not looking at everyone around you.
I totally agree.
And just sit down with yourself and read and something that you actually enjoy, that your mind can go somewhere else and be creative.
Yes, I love that. Because the only time my mind is clear is when I'm like in the bathtub with a book, not an iPad, with the book on the iPad.
Exactly.
I want to like go to Barnes and Noble and hold it and flip the pages.
Exactly.
Do you prefer that? Too?
Oh, totally. I mean, when I was growing up, the reason why I fell in love was I was super bullied. And so what I would do is if I didn't have anyone to sit with at lunch, I just went to the library, and I didn't like love books at the time. So I just started pulling. I'm like, okay, that's the only place that you can be alone and it's normal.
Right. No judgment. She's just looking for books. Like, why would she be talking to
anybody? Now I just like, I can go to lunch and read by myself. Like, I am literally by myself mostly. And now, I mean, she's always with me now, but
you
like,
can't escape me.
No, I don't want you to. But it's fun. I think that we're slowly starting to get our own voices, and this is like one of mine, and Sistine has hers with acting, and you guys have yours. And I think that's what's just really important when you're on social media is to do that.
I have to know, do you have a favorite book?
Yes, I do.
Is it Give Them Lala? I'm just kidding.
Oh my God.
Mine is.
Sistine loves. I love that. I honestly, that's it takes so many guts like to do that.
Yeah. I'm totally fucking with you.
No, but
I just had to get the plug on my podcast.
No, do it. But I actually give you so much credit for that, because being that vulnerable in like a book, I just, and you know, like people go in and you can I mean, people
and
can
in such a hate-filled world to put yourself out there knowing that you could get just any sort of response
also,
from strangers. Like, that's a lot.
There's so much content out there that people know when someone's being fake.
Right.
So if you're writing something, you're putting something out there, you're trying to make it seem real, they're going to see through the bullshit.
Right.
And so you writing a book and it has to be about you, you have to be 100% honest, because people are going to know if you're not telling the truth and you're being fully honest and
transparent.
Yeah. And it's a lot of guts, so
I appreciate that so much. I really do want to know if you have a favorite book.
Oh, it's The Pitcher, Dorian Gray.
Okay, you have
by
to
Oscar
text
Wilde.
That to me. Because I never read that.
Oh, okay.
It's by Oscar Wilde, of course.
It's a classic. But I feel like that's the most annoying thing. I feel like when
you
say
like your classics?
I do, but then I also love The Silent Patient that everyone reads. If you love murder mystery, that's absolutely a book.
See, that's where I tend to go to the ones that are all about murder.
Oh, that's a great one.
That's me.
Yeah.
I'm reading The Murder Room right now. I just read Talking with Serial Killers. Like, that's my jam.
Okay, maybe you should send me
These reps are coming from Sophia, but I'll fill
them. If you like murders, read The Count of Monte Cristo. She's like, it's 8,000 pages long.
No, but your next book is The Silent Patient.
Okay,
you would love that.
Okay, The Silent Patient.
So good.
On it.
Yeah.
And tell me how the book club works. So how are you what's the setup?
Honestly, I think it's just I try to make it as easy as possible. Just
go to
follow,
your gram.
Go to the gram. It's called Favorite Book Club. And every day I'll be posting just a book I'm reading, reviews. Maybe I'll have conversations after I finish the book and go live. And
that's great.
Yeah. And
that's
I also want to do a reader of the month, a favorite of the month. And so
I have
my followers come in. They talk about their favorite book, what their favorite smell is, if it's coffee in the morning. Just weird questions just so that everyone can see I notice you and you notice me and we all notice each other. And so it doesn't feel like it's so separate from a screen and a face. Yeah. So
everybody. So we're running out of time. So let's go over it one more time. The podcast.
Yes, our podcast is every Tuesday. We are recording video and audio. Right now, we're just doing audio, but it's Unwaxed Podcast. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube.
You guys should check out our 50th episode in a couple weeks. That is going to be with Sylvester.
Yes.
Big episode.
Because we're having a whole facelift with the show.
It's going to be a conversation very similar to this with our dad.
And what episode are you on right now?
40? We're on 46.
48? No, 48.
Oh, shit. Really?
Oh, so a couple weeks.
Well,
so if they start tuning in now and they start catching up, they'll get the notification.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and your Instagrams they follow?
At Sistine Stallone.
And at Sophia Stallone.
And the book club?
At Favorite Book Club.
Yes.
Thank you.
Listen, we are definitely following the book club, and we already follow the podcast, and we love your podcast, and we love you guys.
We love you guys.
You guys are family.
By the way, I'm so excited to be on this right now.
We listen.
We're listen to every single episode, so thank you guys.
You guys are amazing. Thank you so much. And thank you guys for listening to another episode of Give Them Lala with Randall, and we will catch you next week.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone's senior writer, Brian Hyatt.
Now, here is my conversation with Jacob Null. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band, like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.